Hello, Bob?
Yes, Tom?
Hey, Bob, I want you to know I've been thinking it over. You know, I have played a couple of tricks on you with the music, you know, your theme music, and so I figured today we'd start it off right. I've got your theme right here.
I'll believe it when I hear it.
Coming right up. What's the matter, Bob? Why are you laughing at me?
Tom.
Hey, it's time for a little comedy relief, a little dose, you know, after all that news.
Tom,
Hey!
Tom, that's comedy. What does it say on that tape?
It says Bob Plaster's theme music.
Oh, God. Tom, that's the comedy relief theme music. We haven't done that since last December.
December?
Yes, the show is now called Funny Stuff. It's half an hour of comedy every Friday night. Does it put on the theme music? Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy presented every Friday night here at KCRW. And tonight's subject is Brother Theodore. I've been giving a lot of thought to how to introduce Brother Theodore because, well, he's a little weird, and I wasn't exactly sure how to present him to you. First, let me give you a little bit of biographical info from the back of this album jacket. Theodore was born in Austria of well-to-do Viennese parents and came to the United States in 1941 with the assistance of Albert Einstein after living through the terror of Hitler's Germany. When he arrived in this country, he was broke and had only one talent, the ability to play chess blindfolded. His first jobs in the U.S. were as a janitor at Stanford University, elevator operator, and shipyard worker in San Francisco. During World War II, as if in answer to the apparent madness of the world, he conceived his one-man show and proceeded to transform fear and horror into unforgettable entertainment. A surefire showman whose natural talents gave him an indescribable holding power over his audiences, he soon won tens of thousands of loyal fans. Theodore performs on a dimly lit stage under a single spotlight, wearing a black shirt and dark corduroy pants. His only props are a chair and a table with an animal skin draped down the front. On stage, his hair seems black, although it is actually yielding to gray and is twisted into a sort of abbreviated pony in front. When he speaks, his square jaw jerks about, his long eyebrows fluctuate devilishly, his eyes bulge and glimmer. His voice ranges from deep throaty roars to shrill yells. Theodore's stories are at once gruesome, sinister, humorous, and fascinating. Many in his audience think he is mad. Theodore adds, "I am, but madness is a very healthy sickness. If it were not for my madness, I would have gone insane long ago." I describe him to friends as a combination of Professor Irwin Corey and Edgar Allan Poe. I'd like to, though, get out of the way the illusion that he's a crazy man, because I met Brother Theodore about 15 years ago, and he is a soft-spoken, kind, gentle man. At the time, I was in high school, and we were arranging for him to perform at a coffee house that we had. And he not only performed for nothing, which was all we could afford, but was very concerned that there might be young children that might be alarmed by his performance. He's a very sweet, very intelligent man, and is in complete control of what he does. That out of the way, let's listen to an extended piece off of an album entitled simply Theodore on the Carl label from the mid-50s, and the piece is entitled Quadrupedism.
We measure things by what we are. To the maggots in the cheese is the universe. To the worms in the corpse is the cosmos. How then can we be so cocksure about our world? Just because of our telescopes and microscopes and the splitting of the atom? Certainly not. Science is but an organized system of ignorance. There are more things in heaven and on earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy. What do we know about the beyond? Do we know what's behind the beyond? I'm afraid some of us hardly know what's beyond the behind. Creatures of twilight and illusion, we drift and drift toward our unknown ends. And that's why I feel the best thing is not to be born. But who is as lucky as that? To whom does it happen? Not one among millions and millions of people.
My friends, I'm here tonight to show you the way. I'm here tonight to share a great truth with you. I'm here tonight to dehypnotize you, to free you from a deadly collective obsession. I'm a voice for those who dare not speak. I'm a cry for hearts that suffer in silence. And I'm here tonight to tell you what needs to be told. I feel an itch for public service, and I've got to scratch it. In this best of all possible worlds, everything is in a hell of a mess. Everyone knows it. Everyone has a different explanation for it. But all these explanations are bunk. Not money, or the lack of it, not the atom bomb, or the hydrogen bomb, or the cobalt bomb are responsible for our plight. Not capitalism or socialism, not militarism or pacifism, not cannibalism or ventriloquism. None of these are to blame. None of these are at fault. They are mere symptoms, they are mere manifestations of an evil that is deeper rooted. The true cause of our problems and pains, the basic cause of our headaches and heartaches and torments and turmoils and calamities and crimes, the real cause has been hidden from us, hidden by the very men who are supposed to enlighten and protect us, the medical profession. I accuse medical science. I say medical science is a fraud, an organized system of ignorance. I say medical science is a conspiracy, a premeditated idiocy. Its practitioners have betrayed us. Every day they give us a new theory. Today contradicts yesterday, tomorrow will wipe out today. A torrent of trash, a Niagara of nonsense. After 10,000 years, we are still living in an age of pills and legalized butchery, of blood analysis, urine and psychoanalysis, of toenail and dendriff analysis. An army of know-nothing, hair-splitting, fee-splitting specialists is at war with an army of ailments. And the ailments bloom. And the specialists prosper, and the patients die, unless kept alive at the point of a gun. You are being murdered, my friends, day after day, as long as you live. Never ask for whom the grave is dug. It's dug for you. You are in walking distance of your grave, but you can't see it. Tears shed by your left eye are blinding your right eye. Tears shed by your right eye are blinding your left eye. Wake up! We are not suffering from a million or more diseases, but from one disease and one only. The hidden disease, the original, the fundamental disease. And it cannot be cured by chemistry or surgery, by skullduggery or blackstrap molasses. Let the doctors examine themselves. Let them have a good look at their own distorted, two-legged, upright position. They stand erect on their hind legs, but can they think straight? Their spines are caving in, their livers have putrefied, their discs have slipped, their sciatica is dislocated, their noses have bulbified. What do these learned garbage cans, these boil catchers and abominationists, these troubadours of diarrhea and constipation, what do these sinister fools, these hand-picked morons, what do they know about quadrupedism, about four-leggedism? Less than a jellyfish knows about Beethoven's ninth. Back, my friends, back, I say,
back to the position nature gave us in the beginning. Down, down, I say, down on all fours.
In these days of darkness and doubt, of crisis and confusion, what the world needs is a truly great soul. I am that soul. I'm a thinker of thoughts. I see the relationship between things that are utterly unrelated. I'm a cosmodynamic personality walking in beauty and eternal youth on all fours. On the record covers, I look like a pile of mud, but that's only because photography is still in its infancy. I am what you might call a controversial figure. People either hate me or despise me. They would rather shake the devil by the tail than shake me by the hand. But with every failure, my reputation grows. I speak to the misguided, to the befuddled and bepiffled ones, to those upright pillars of pain who are born in misery and die in sorrow, to those pathetic yokels who stalk about on their hind legs and call themselves masters of the earth. I speak to you. Wake up! It's hard to break with tradition and give up your prejudice. I know that. But what has walking on two legs done for you? It has changed you into flotsam and jetsam. It has thrown you into an orgy of self-destruction. It has made chaos the law of your life, and loneliness and despair and the imbibery of schnapps the pattern of your existence, a shadow existence, a death in life, from womb to tomb, anguish, from cradle to crypt, tears. Your body, your mind, your soul cry out for help. You swallow another pill and say, shut up, body. Shut up, mind. Shut up, soul. But they won't shut up. Fungus. Decomposed protein, scrofula, disgruntled liver bile wriggle their way into your blood, cripple your anatomy, mutilate your metabolism, causing spaghetti deficiency and crumbling of the T-bone, leading to overweight and adultery, opening the door to lockjaw, housemaid's knee, and compulsive, uncalled for laughter. You want health. Do you have it? You long for love. Do you have it? You yearn for peace. Do you have it? Your way of life has failed you time and again. Might it not be wise to try another way? My way, nature's way. Back, my friends. Back, I say. Back to the position nature gave us in the beginning. Down, down, I say. Down on all fours. And look your neighbor straight in the eye. Or are you more interested in booze and loaded dice? In two-legged beastliness and promiscuity? Your forefather wasn't. Early man wasn't. Early man stayed right in his cave, rubbing elbows with early woman. And the average early man in the street walked on all fours and was proud of it. Won't you try it? The sublime bliss of quadrupedism, the unspeakable joy of four-leggedism. I need fellow crusaders. I need you, my friends, with your splendid intellects. The world needs you. Your loved ones need you. Won't you help me? Help you, help them. I can't do it alone, friends. I'm not the reincarnated Joan of Arc or something. I'm just plain folks. Oh, my brothers, my sisters, my countrymen, my countrywomen, are you going to put it off till it's too late, till the Russians come up with it? By your apathy, by your complacency, by your two-legged indifference, you have made this beautiful, wide, wide world an insult to creation. You have made it the dung heap of the universe.
Let me read you an article from the Woman's Daily Digest. It is entitled, What Has This World Come To? Let me read it to you verbatim, my friends, just as I found it bound and filed in the pornographic division of the New York Pornographic Library. Here it is, and I quote, a young man of good character and solid background visits a local dive, the Dirty Shame Cafe. There he finds liquor and lipstick and laughter and song, also cigarette spittle and two-legged entertainment. After a while, 15 beers under his belt, his money spent, his morals impaired, he's kicked out of the joint. Bleary-eyed, belching, spewing, cussing right and left, he gropes his way home. All right, Ma, he says, dish out the dough and make it snappy. I've got to get back to the dancing school. Come on, old rattlesnake, get going! And he kicked her below the belt. His mother, a widow, poor but respectable, a lady every inch, declines. The young man gives a short laugh. Brr, ha, brr, ha, 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 brr, ha, brr, ha, brr, ha, brr, ha, whoo! Then he grabs a gun and runs out again, determined to re-enter his hell-soaked paradise, money or no money. His mother hobbles after him, puts her hand on his arm in restraint. He brushes her off. The friendly old mailman passes by. He stops and quotes from the Bible. But the young man, frenzied by lager beer, puts a bullet through his noodle. A couple of kids stand around, watching the scene with interest. He slays them just like that. Then he bumps off the washroom attendant. Also, a television repairman, a Freemason, and the dentist next door. Heads, arms, legs, kneecaps, eyeballs, armpits, eardrums, hemorrhoids, asteroids are rolling in all directions. His mother swoons. Too late. 3 hours later, she's dead of leprosy. What a day. End of article. Now, don't get me wrong, friends. Walking on all fours is not going to transform you into another person. It will in no way change your identity, but it will help you achieve the success you so richly deserve. It will propel you to heights undreamed of. It will make you a race of rulers. It will make you a breed of kings. It will fulfill your fondest expectations. Now, what exactly does fulfill mean? It means to fill full. That's what it means in a nutshell. Up to now, your life has been a long, dim twilight trance, interrupted by occasional fits of panic and confused activity. The vital spark, the zest of life, is missing. Let me be your dexedrine. Let me direct you and quicken you. Let me instruct and exhort you. Let me pump purpose into your bloodless veins, hope into your hopeless hearts. Let me be your sword. Let me be your flame. Let me be your Valentine. At this point, I should like to debunk one of your pet superstitions. We do not hear with our ears. I repeat that. We do not hear with our ears. Our ears are mere window dressing, as useful as a glass eye at a keyhole. Man hears with his left hind leg. That upsets all your grammar school notions, doesn't it? I don't want you to accept it on my mere say-so, but consider this. Can a fish hear? Of course he can. Not with his ears. Fish have no ears. They hear with their tails. Dr. Helmut von Quatschkopf, noted German explorer, philosopher, metaphysician, and podiatrist, conducted an interesting experiment along these lines. Von Quatschkopf put some ordinary run-of-the-mill goldfish into an ordinary run-of-the-mill goldfish bowl filled with ordinary run-of-the-mill tap water. And then he proceeded to shout threats and insults at the fish.
Verfluchte Fischsau! Euch hat man wohl in die Muffe gepufft! Affenfisch! Schweinefisch! Hurenfisch! Ich lasse mich nicht von euch verfumpfeizen! In den Mülleimer mit euch, dass es nur so kracht! Unwiderruflich! Erbarmungslos!
You should have seen the fish after a couple of weeks. They were bitter fish. Peaked, peeved, miffed, huffed fish. Discontented and disgruntled fish. They would sulk easily. They would bathe in tears 3 times a day and 7 times on Saturdays. They would pollute beaches. They would laugh like crocodiles. Fish do hear. With their tails. After all, fish are just like other people, except that they are fish. Back, my friends, back, I say, back to the position nature gave us in the beginning. Down, down, I say, down on all fours, without any further ado. Adulously! Dearly beloved, believe me, walking on all fours is no pipe dream, no utopia, no metaphysical goulash, no pie in the sky. I didn't dream it up or stir it up with a stick or something. Walking on all fours is a fact, a glorious fact, a reality more real than a reality. It is living as nature meant you to live, with your vertebrae held horizontal from east to west, with your posterior pointing to the North Pole, the mariner's guide. With your belly button as a center of gravity, transmitting poise and popularity to all the parts of your body. Walking on all fours is a real McCoy. It is worth its weight in gold. It is too indescribably delicious. Hallelujah. But you can't be wishy-washy about it or namby-pamby. Compromising won't do. You can't just say, let George do it. Or let brother Theodore do it. Let him walk on all fours. I've got arthritis. Oh, no. And walking on 3 legs won't do either. It's whole hog or nothing. You can't learn how to swim unless you get into the water and drown. Merely listening to brother Theodore doesn't make you a quadrupedist any more than going to a garage makes you an automobile. Brother Theodore doesn't grow on every bush. You can't pick the cherries out of his pie and reject the thorns of his roses. Don't you want to score a victory over your lower nature? Don't you want to get the four-legged know-how? Let me tell you, friends, we still are friends, are we not? Or at least very good acquaintances. Well, let me tell you, very good acquaintances,
Quadrupedism produces electromagnetic charges in your body. It unblocks the kidney stew and stimulates the carbon dioxide in your lungs, which turn to brewer's yeast. You have attained the logamundidi, the logadeidili of the gugu. You sit back and enjoy that glorious, that peppy, that luxurious feeling that goes with regularity.
Fair enough? Accept me. Follow me. I am not of my rocker, and I am no quack, no cultist, no charlatan. My intentions are honorable. I want to save you, all of you, from the most vomitory fate that has ever threatened humankind. Extinction!
Can't you see where we are headed? This is the end of the line. The insects are about to wipe us off the map. They are ready to take over. We stand at the dawn of the insect age. What do you think of that? Just imagine the tsetse fly running things. Or the praying mantis. Is that what you are after? Is that what you are sending your kids to college for?
Or do you think you are immune to extinction? Because you are so clever, so cute, so essential to the music of the spheres.
Well, once upon a time, another crowd felt that way too. About 100 million years ago, the dinosaurs had everything their own way. They thought they knew all the answers. They thought they could hear the grass growing. Maybe they could. But according to Pfitzen and Bokanovsky, their social life was a disgrace. They changed their sex every other month and used profane language. And at the age of three, at the very tender age of three, they would go steady in no uncertain manner and bring forth eggs as large as footballs without benefit of clergy or city hall. Extinction! That's what they asked for. That's what they got. They were among the first to get up and waddle about on their hind legs, which made them so smug, so sissified, so self-absorbed, they wouldn't even neck anymore. It was too much bother. Not that I care. I can't figure out what they saw in each other in the first place. I don't go for dinosaurs. Maybe I've met the right one yet. And anyway, where are they now, those parasites? And where is Sodom? Where Gomorrah? Where Patterson, New Jersey? Ah, my very good acquaintances. Mother Nature can get terribly nasty when she puts her mind to it. My, oh my. Wake up. Join Brother Theodore's happiness campaign. Smash the drugstores. Hang the pill pushers. Slaughter the surgeons. Exterminate the cuckoo analysts. Only when the last Freudian has been strangled with the entrails of the last Jungian, only when the last endocrinologist has been drowned in the blood of the last gastroenterologist, only then will there be a new life for us, an earth redeemed, and on it we shall dance, truly dance, as we have never danced before, to the heartbeat of our great Mother Earth, caressing her on all fours. Beast men, beast women, and your tortured bodies, your anguished souls, will be at peace at last. Down into action! Forward! March! Our goal, Washington! Our end, compulsory quadrupedism. Our battle cry, sanity marches on. Back. Back, my friends. Back to the position nature gave us in the beginning. Down, down, I say. Down, down, down on all fours.
And if you happen to grow a tail, wag it.
Well, there it is, Brother Theodore with Quadrupedism. I may be crazy. Most people that I have played that for really don't like it very much, but I think it's just brilliant. Let me know if you like it. The address is Bob Claster, Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California. And thank those of you who have written, gotten some very nice letters. Some important news for lovers of Funny Stuff, aside from the fact that next week at this same time we will be rebroadcasting the Tom Lehrer interview from last, I believe, February it was. After that, starting in the month of June, we will be on at 7:30 on Friday nights instead of 9:30. I'm very happy about that, and I think it'll make the show a lot more accessible. So, coming up in June at 7:30, we'll have Flanders and Swan, Bob Newhart, Lily Tomlin, a special program of musical parodies, basically more conventional comedy than we've heard tonight. Although, as I say, I think that's a great piece of comedy we heard tonight. Anyway, I'm getting defensive already. This is your host, Bob Claster, reminding you to keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining me.